Good afternoon, everybody in the Western Hemisphere, and good morning to all my friends in the Eastern Hemisphere. You are watching the CoinGeek, oh, it's over here, CoinGeek Weekly live stream, and I'm your host, Kurt Wooker Jr., broadcasting live from the Blue Room at the South Florida Bitcoin Citadel, where all the work is getting done. In fact, a bunch of really cool stuff going on in the last couple of weeks, a combination of all things Bitcoin, and maybe a little bit of some AI stuff coming soon. And wouldn't you know it, I actually got to make friends with a local fellow who I didn't realize was a local fellow until a couple weeks ago, but one of the engineers, one of the main dudes over at RockWallet lives in the area. And so he gets to come here and hang out every once in a while too. And so that'll be our guest today. Not the guy who lives in South Florida, but we're going to have Steve Bailey on in a little bit to discuss all the things going on in the Rock universe. I guess we should call it the Rock Wallet universe, but big fan of the product. A little bit of backstory from me, just so everybody knows. By the way, all the crypto bros and all this stuff, I'm not going to be talking about the price of your favorite token, but there is a lot of really interesting stuff going on out there that you can check out across CoinGeek.com and all of our delightful reporting. But let me talk a little bit about why wallets matter to me, and actually one of the reasons that I ended up in BSV in the first place. So I was a Bitcoiner. I'm a big blocker, so I was very interested in Bitcoin Cash, kind of went in 2 feet into the Bitcoin Cash community until that wanted to split into a small block and a big block version. And BSV was, you know, where my heart obviously was, because I'm here now. But one of the things that stood out to me was which wallets wanted to go which direction and why. And at the time, it was like I think it was the Bitcoin.com wallet was the main one. And then there was the Electron Cash, I think it was called. And then on the BSV side, it was SentBee and Handcash were the two primary wallets that were going that direction. And another one called Simply Cash by our dear friend Ari Cucci, who's probably not watching live because he's working out or taking photos in skin tight man suits. But when I looked at the wallets, like one of the things that really stood out to me was, okay, how functional are these wallets? Like, what are these wallets for? And at the time, the Bitcoin.com wallet was very much what you'd expect from a classic, like, here's your seed phrase, here's your send and receive, here's where you can tinker with your derivation paths and export your XPub key and do all that stuff that you'd expect from your basic sort of HD Bitcoin wallet. But then on the Handcash and the SentBee side, it was innovation, innovation, innovation. So Handcash had its handle system and all this other stuff over there. And SentBee was working on like all this interesting stuff to do with micropayments, but actually interested, like both of them very interested in clever new uses for Bitcoin as cash. And that to me was one of the major cultural indicators that made me want to go in the direction of BSV in the first place. And so what I'm excited to talk about today with Mr. Steve Bailey is why a wallet actually matters in the ecosystem as a whole. Like why the wallet is a sort of a leading indicator for where the culture wants to go. Now, you talk about Money Button and some of these other things that these different eras in the BSV universe, the time chain that never ceases. But I think there's a lessons to learn by looking at what wallets are used. Why do people care? What does it indicate about the culture? And what can we calculate about the trajectory of a technology based on the decisions made by that culture? So going to be really exciting. If you have your questions, comments, blessings, cursings, grapes, gripes, or gropes, please put them in the troll box. If you can get them past Mr. Alex Moon, you can get them past basically anybody. And so go ahead and put them in the troll box. He will audit them for content. He will edit them for grammar, I'm sure. And then all the really, really good ones will make their way right here at the bottom of the screen where I can then see. Can we talk about yeah, I guess we can talk about the wallet now. So Mr. Moon, if you could play the ad, we'll be right back. Steve, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm fine, sir. And how are you?
I'm quite well. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity and finally acquiescing to my list of extensive demands. Although I have to say, your people do need to talk to my people because I only received green M&Ms and I explicitly asked for blue.
We got like Eddie Van Halen over here. Like, throw them and take these away. So that's good stuff. Awesome. So, Steve, I don't know you real well. You and I have had a couple of basic interactions, but we've never shared a pint across the table. So I don't know that much about you. I would love to start. What is your personal Bitcoin story? How did it start? What did you like about it? How'd you get your first Bitcoin? Give us the backstory, please.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll just briefly give you a brief history of my career and how I've, where I am today. So I started my career, I'm from England, and I started my career in banking. So I worked for three AAA banks, Barclays Bank, Bank Paribas, and Deutsche Bank in system administration, creating system design. Then I moved on to Virgin Atlantic, where I set up the entire email infrastructure for Mr. Branson and Co. And then I found myself in BlackBerry, where I worked my way up to become the vice president of business operations globally. So I've worked for a number of companies, and I know what good looks like. But throughout my entire career, like I'm sure everybody that's listening to this, it's all about continuing to learn and self-education. And my journey to Bitcoin actually started with being very interested in gold and silver, because it was clear to me that fiat was heading in the wrong direction and ultimately has a doomed life cycle. Yep. And it's incumbent on us all to educate ourselves. And there's some individuals that I followed around the gold and silver. So I started to take interest in that, and then that naturally led on to cryptocurrency as well. Although there's no direct correlation, it's really the alternative to the fiat system that interested me. And I remember buying a single Bitcoin, which is not true. I wish I was that rich. I bought a 0.0001% of a Bitcoin. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't know what I was doing. It meant nothing to me. But I had it. And then I had it, and I thought, well, hang on a second. Now I've got this. What can I do with it? And then you start to realize that your options are actually quite limited. So, this interest carried on, and I thought, I need to work with some of these people. I need to understand this more and work with some very smart people who understand the very nature of it. And then, I found myself at Rock Wallet, and it tick, tick, tick. I'm surrounded myself with amazing people. They're a great team, and I'm learning every day, even at this ripe old age.
For sure. It's always amazing to me when I ask people about their story, and you get the it's actually quite common, like, oh, I was a Libertarian Party volunteer, or I was a big gold and silver advocate, or I was a, there are a few common threads where people will make their way to Bitcoin. But I always find the fascinating thing when you get somebody just with like an incredible pedigree. I mean, you just named six or seven of some of the biggest companies in the world, right? And then to make your way into, hey, I need to make my way into the Bitcoin economy. And so it's amazing that there's that gravity that would bring someone, I mean, just Virgin and Deutsche Bank, and you hear these names on the news. I guarantee we could turn on the news, any channel, pick a channel and watch for 1 hour, and we'll get a mention of one of the brands at which you've worked, as long as we're watching like a financial channel. But so it's just amazing to me. I think it's a really strong indicator about like that there's something special. I think most of us don't still maybe even know exactly what it is or what it'll look like in 10 years or that kind of thing, but there is that just kind of, it's like the call of the sirens, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you've nailed it. I've been very lucky in my career. I guess you can make the argument that the harder I've worked, the luckier I've got. But it's all about putting yourself in situations that technically you're not qualified for, but you have the confidence and the ability to move it forward. And that's what I'm trying to bring to the cryptocurrency world, certainly through Rock Wallet, and that's solid execution. So you're going to hear some of my answers to the questions. It's all around doing it well, keeping it as basic as possible, and then building that solid, rock solid foundation For then do all the wonderful things. That see what I did there?
That's good stuff.
There you go.
So actually, I should note, I think, first of all, your branding is really strong. I like the fact that your employees across social media and all of these, like the branding is really consistent. Everybody looks really nice on social. I think a lot of companies sort of have a disparate, you know, kind of like, wait, who do you work for? What do you do? What is your company? So I think Rockwell, A, the logo is really nice, and B, just the branding, and then knowing who's who and saying, oh, this is clearly a Rockwell person. So I don't know whose call that is, but whoever decided to do the branding and marketing the way that it's done deserves a thumbs up. It's good stuff.
Yeah, so we certainly had some help with the branding, and it was based on the rock confident, rock solid foundation. The R has got the fingerprint logo. You know, that's the subconscious level. In terms of our presence, it's a reason why I'm present in social media. You know, I want to put my money where my mouth is. Okay. A lot of my tweets that you can see are around customer service, because it doesn't matter what you're selling, apples, oranges, cryptocurrency, airplanes, it's all around customer service and building that trust and building that faith in your product. Cause we're asking a lot of people, you know, they don't necessarily know who we are, but we are genuine, and you know, we're ready to put our money where our mouth is.
And amen to that. So let's talk about the product. And I think we need to define Rockwell. It is the name of the company and it's the name of the product. So can we break down, I guess let's first talk about the product and then we can get into a little deeper, like let's talk about Rockwell at the company as a whole.
Absolutely. So yes, you're right. We're called a Rock Wallet, and the primary product is the Rock Wallet itself. And it's a self-custodial multi-asset digital wallet that's available globally. And it allows our customers, and you mentioned it at the start, to send, store, receive, buy, and swap a multitude of cryptocurrencies, all within one app. And one of the key things, and this was definitely a strategic decision we made, was the self-custodial element to it. And you know this phrase, and your viewers know this phrase, I'm sure inside out, not your keys, not your coins. And this goes back to that rock solid sentiment, is that it's self-custodial. You own your cryptocurrency. Nobody else owns it. And that's really important, especially when you see what's going on in the market with the other exchanges. And then the actual product itself is actually built on the Bread Wallet, which, I believe is battle tested, and it's been around since 2014. So it was,
I was a Bread user many years ago. It's been, in fact, it's probably been 5 years since I was a Bread user, but I do recall liking the product initially. Yeah,
and you know, that was a strategic decision we made, because again, it's around building that confidence, and it's all behind your mobile devices, state-of-the-art technology. So you know, they're your keys, your coins, your assets, your phone. Only you have access to it. And then from a company perspective, we're MSB registered. We've got MTLs in flight, full functionality in 41 states. We just opened up Florida recently. and, you know, we are available globally, except, some restricted countries like North Korea, et cetera. So, you know, again, you know, we're available. We've got strong customer support, and we want you to use our product, obviously, but we want you to enjoy using our product.
For sure. Well, and I think part of the enjoyment for a lot of people, it's funny when you think about, like, how do I get Bitcoin, right? Like, this is a very basic question. This was my basic question circa like mid 2013, just as I was kind of getting involved.
Yeah,
I remember going to my bank and wiring money to a financial institution in Eastern Europe. I think it was Estonia, if I recall. And I remember my banker saying, like, what are you doing and why? And like trying to talk me out of it. Like, you're probably being scammed in some. And I explained roughly what it was, because I think I had to put it on the form. And, you know, they're trying like really hard to talk me out of sending what was ultimately, I think it was $1,000 or something, which is like big-ish. And it's fascinating, because I remember getting a Coinbase account and then saying, oh, this is way easier. I can connect my bank account and you know, whatever, buy $50 a week or do some reasonable thing. And but there's always been this sort of sub group of people that have these specialized apps. Now, like Cash App is a good example of, you know, people will just do that. I've not been a Cash App user, but people have told me for a long time, oh, it's just so simple. You just connect your accounts, you buy it. It's just you like take out your phone and click go. So I know you have an exchange product. The exchange product is built into the wallet, but your company also has all this other stuff that it does in the background, the liquidity and market maker services and some of these things that I know a company like yours gets involved in as part of the model. But can you explain the broader model of what your company is doing, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's three facets to the company. The Rock Wallet itself that we've just discussed, and we'll go into some more detail later. We do have the Rock Wallet OTC. So it's not an exchange in the sense that your currency that's in your wallet exists on the exchange. There's no connection there at all. The only connection is that we use it for our liquidity. And so we trade on principle, and then you know we're able to facilitate the buys and swaps, you know, instantaneously. But the OTC also can facilitate high net worth individuals and trades. We haven't really defined the threshold, but you know, if you're looking to do about $50,000 of swaps, then you know it might probably make sense to go through the OTC desk.
Yeah.
And then we have the Rock Wallet API, which is the B2B programmatic element of it. And that's obviously 24/7, you know, varying prices based on the trade at the time, and an instant settlement as well. But our main product is the Rock Wallet itself, the self-custodial wallet.
No, it's good stuff. And I think it's always fascinating to me. I grew up in Chicago, and I knew people that worked at the Chicago Board of Trade or CME Group. And these places, I guess if you lived in New York 30 or 40 years ago and near Wall Street, you could see like pit trading and some of these kind of things. But they actually still do that in Chicago. I think it's the last place on earth where they still have like a pit and people wearing colored jackets and doing this stuff on the regular. And so I think there's an aspect of that occurs in a market maker room and some of these things that I think like people picture something like the Wolf of Wall Street or whatever. Like they picture these very weird, you know, situations, not to cast any aspersions on your company being like the Wolf of Wall Street. But just, I think that if you don't have any context on what's actually occurring at one of these companies, you just sort of picture, I don't know, where have I seen people making, you know, phone call trades or, you know, instant settlement and these kind of things. Can you talk a little bit about what that looks like? Instant settlement, for example, like who's the clientele for something like that? And what does that business process look like?
Yeah, that's a fair question. So, you know, like I say, it tends to be very high net worth individuals who want to do obviously a large amount of trades, both in volume and frequency. So they would typically come through us. And then you would expect that service to be a bit more bespoke because these individuals are used to that level of service, and quite rightly so. We are looking to, I don't want to give too much away on the roadmap, but we are looking to facilitate higher level swaps within the wallet. So you haven't got to come out of the app. Yeah. But right now, if you wanted to do a large trade, again, it's an arbitrary number, but 50,000 USD, then sure, it makes sense to go through the OTC. I wish it was I keep on thinking of the film Trading Places where they're all trying to borrow.
It's
not like that at all. So these are some of the smartest laid back people that are usually three or four steps ahead of me. And that's not saying much because I think most people in the company are three or four steps ahead of me. they're pretty chill and they know what's coming. And I have to say their ability to read the tea leaves, as it were, is reflected in the P&L. And, you know, we have never been able not to facilitate any trade or swap at any time. So, yeah, these guys have my admiration for sure.
Well, it's just such a crazy business to think like streaming liquidity or those kind of things. So especially with the nature of the business being the way it is and with banking, I mean, we're 24 hours out from another major bank collapse. And I know this has impacted, I mean, the entire blockchain economy has had like a major pinch on some of this stuff. And now there's even, testifying on the floor of the Senate that Silicon Valley Bank went under as a product of the cryptocurrency industry collapse and these kind of things. How do we, I mean, it's like we've basically taken a step 5 or 6 years backward just and really through largely no fault of all the good people that are doing stuff in this economy. Yeah. But how do we get away from that in much the same way if you were an executive that used to work at Bear Stearns? Like, how do we get past how do we kind of whitewash or not whitewash it because that sounds like you're trying to cover it up. But how do we clean it up? How do we actually come out and say, hey, we've healed from this? And
I tell you, man, it's really, really straightforward. There is no science to this. It's pure business. Okay.
Yeah.
Say what you're going to do, do what you say, and do it well, and build that trust. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, going back to what I was saying earlier, you know, our roadmap is extensive, but we're not going to go crazy with all the wonderful things that you can do until you can open an account, you can KYC the account, you can fund the account, you can buy it and sell. And like I say, customer service is one of our key tenants. It's not as sexy as cryptocurrency, but it is one of our key tenants. And what I say to the team is treat it like it's your own money. If you've got a customer asking a question, be engaged as if it was your own money. And, you know, that's really important. That comes across. Yeah. But, you know, self-custodial, you know, obviously it's important to us because that's one of our major strategies. But, you know, until we are the entire industry is properly regulated, until the definition of what a security is purely defined, then, you know, you're going to get people making decisions based on their interpretation. Our interpretation is self-custodial. You own it. We're not interested in trading securities. You know, we're, the coins that we have in our wallet are limited to a certain extent for a reason, because we want to go back to that core tenant that you know, do it simply and just do it really well and keep on doing it. And then you build that trust and then you can add all the fancy things onto it. But, you know, I welcome regulation. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, same. You know, I used to be a big anti-regulation guy. And then as you watch, I mean, just criminal after criminal and their behavior, it's like, guys, I'm not even making the argument. You, the bad people, are making the argument for it. So
exactly.
It's really rough.
So, you know, it's really important that we build trust and put the power in the customer's hands. And we're merely a vessel to facilitate what they want to do with their assets. And that's it.
So I should state, I don't normally vouch for a product because I know I've got a pretty big audience and everybody's very, you know, everybody's looking for something to fail that I vouched for so they can crap on me. But there's a few things that I have vouched for in the past. And I interview a lot of people that have products and services and things. And admittedly, you know, I'm not a power user of most things, but I do try to use products before I have people on. But I'm legitimately a customer of yours. My company uses RockWallet. I've actually had an issue here or there that when I've reached out for customer service, it's been like, oh, okay. Well, I was expecting this to be terrible because of other experiences at other places, and it was really good. So I completely unpaid or any of that nonsense. Like, I am a big fan of your product. So I think no, and you really deserve the credit for it because the products that come out of a lot of places are MVP and they just want to make a little bit of money and it's not actually supported. And I think you putting that that foot forward, like treating it like it's your money and really focusing on customer service, it actually really shows. So I just want anybody watching now to realize, like, again, this wasn't like a paid ad conversation or anything like that. This is my show and I am a fan and I actually use the product. So I just wanted to vouch for it in no uncertain terms that I actually like the product.
Thank you for that. And you didn't have to do that. So thank you. And you genuinely made me blush. But, you know, joking aside, and you know, this is really important. You know, we've even slowed our roadmap down deliberately so we can build that security in. We can build that trust. Our KYC, although you can KYC within less than 5 minutes, is one of the most robust KYC processes in the industry. And that's really important, not only for the customer, but for us as well. We want to know who we're dealing with. And, you know, that's how you build those long term relationships. And, you know, I repeat myself again, but, you know, it's just saying what you're going to do and just doing what you say and just doing it consistently. And that builds the trust, you know. So and that's why when customers say, oh, you know, I've done a swap and it's taken an hour, mainly usually because it's for some reason the chain itself is very busy and the sats is a bit at the time was right, but it's low now. It doesn't matter what the reason is. It's important that the customer is communicated to and say, you know, I've actually done calls myself personally where I've literally stayed in the chat with them while watching the trade go through, and I won't leave them until it's gone through. Yep. So, you know, and it's little things like that, I think, that people notice.
Nah, for sure. So let's talk a little bit about that roadmap. One of the things, you know, it seems like every wallet's like, okay, here's our MVP, but then now we need to have a browser extension, and now it needs to be like used for logging into all these other things. Yeah. And, you know, so it very quickly your wallet becomes 50 things instead of two or three really good ones. I'm curious, can you give us any insight as to what maybe something that will be out in the next 3 months? You don't have to tell us what it's going to look like in 2 years, but
I can definitely do that.
Okay.
I think, you know, typically you should avoid talking about a roadmap, but you know what? We've got a solid roadmap, and you know, I'm comfortable talking about it because I know most of this is imminent. So it's an educated strategic statement that I'm making there. So on our roadmap, so just going back to what we do today, you know, store, send, receive, buy, you know, you can buy with a credit card, you can buy with a debit card, you can do it on ACH in the US. So that's really important that your audience know that you can do that today. And then swap, we've got pairs of the BSV, BTC, BCH, ETH, USDC, USDT. And then you have like daily limits of 20,000 for a swap, 500 for a buy. You know, you can increase a larger amount, but the reason why I'm sort of, you know, I'm just setting the foundation. Okay, so our roadmap essentially is about fear on, fear off. Okay, that's the key thing that's currently not in our product, and the fraud and risk management element of things, the scalability, because we are growing. You know, it's crazy. You know, I wouldn't go as far as say every day, but every week we're breaking a record. Nice. Of our history, which is, you know, great, but you know, we want to be able to make sure that we're scalable and the performance is there and it's secure. And again, the customer experience, you know, obviously I want to grow and grow and grow, but I don't want to lose that personal touch with the customers and lose that sentiment that it's their money. But so specifically what I can tell you is that 5.6 is our current version of the wallet. 5.7 is actually probably going to be released tomorrow. Nice. And the main functionality, there's some bug fixes in that and some enhancements, but the main functionality is going to allow us to have Rock Wallet available in Texas, which is really good. So that's on the back of Florida. And then by the end of May, we're going to have off ramps. Okay, so you're going to be able to sell your assets. And then we're also going to be able to do instant ACH as well. So for those that are not familiar with the ACH process, you know, it takes 10 days. It can take up to 10 days for your money to appear. But instant ACH up to a certain level will appear immediately. So it's the ability to off ramp into your bank account instantly, funny enough. And then we introduced PayMail. It was the first iteration. The MVP was really the ability to send to PayMail addresses. But in the next version, by the end of May, you'll be able to generate your own Rock Wallet PayMail address and then send and receive. Yeah. And then 2FA through the Authenticator app and via email as well. So again, you know, adding that security, adding that comfort level around. That's as far as I'm going to go today in terms of the roadmap. But
that's a lot of stuff.
Well, I do want to come. I wanted this to be meaningful. But I can tell you that once we've done the core tenants, we're doing it really well. We've adding that functionality. Then you're going to start seeing on our roadmap the ability to use BSV, the ability to spend the money in other apps as well. So we wanted to get the core done correctly, and then add all the wonderful things and opportunities that is going to be afforded to anybody in the crypto industry, and certainly people that have a Rock Wallet.
Oh, that's fantastic. So I would love to talk about community. So I already mentioned, like, you do a good job on social media and that kind of thing, but thinking about some of the other people that have these sort of multi-coin versus maximalist sort of community thing. So I spent a lot of years recommending Exodus Wallet to people. And I'm not going to retract it. I still think they have a very good product, and they're nice people. They've always been very nice. But I think it's interesting the people that get attracted versus the people that get repelled from sort of a big tent attitude. And it's an interesting thing because, for lack of a better term, you know, being a patriot is very different than being a diplomat. And it's kind of a weird space, because when it really gets down to it, the people that actually know the technology and understand it and the culture and community and all this kind of thing, there's a big debate, actually. Like, there are people out there that say there is no community, it's an economy, and I should just be trying to compete with you, that'll bring the best things, versus the, hey, we need to be like cultivating community as like a primary aspect of the business model. So I'm curious, like, what is your company's culture about things like community, or you know, do you want to facilitate lots and lots of community? Now, I think the most toxic example would be Alex Mashinsky, who was Mr. Community, and don't worry, everything's safe at Celsius. And now, you know, like, we all know how that ended. And then on the flip side, the toxic individualism, I think, gets down to the BTC people, where the, like, no, we must be toxic to everybody and only the strongest survive. And that's obviously, you know, has its own merits and has its own problems too. So where are you guys at on the continuum? I'd love to hear what the company culture is like on stuff like that.
Yeah. Thank you. So I'm going to make a statement, and it does tend to raise some eyebrows, but I genuinely believe this. I'm a simple man and I am what I am. But, you know, even though I'm relatively new to the cryptocurrency world, my opinion hasn't really changed yet. And that is, to me, it's technology looking for a customer.
Yeah.
So the reason why I'm saying that is that I do believe it's all about community right now. I do believe that, you know, I'm not in competition with the Exodus or Hangcash or Senbei. I want these guys to do well, because their success ultimately is going to be our success, and vice versa. So people say to me, oh, you're not worried about Hangcash taking your lunch? No, of course I'm not. I mean, Alex is a great guy. We all know Alex. But yeah. No, of course I'm not, because together we are going to build this ecosystem. Now, 2 or 3 years down the line, are we going to be going at each other? Maybe. I don't know. But we're not there yet, because there's plenty to do. And fighting amongst ourselves makes no sense at all. And, you know, I have to say, since I've been on Twitter, I am, you know, my children, they're all grown up now, but they warned me. I'm shocked. I'm shocked at the language. Yeah. And I refuse to engage. Nobody's out to scam anybody. I've got some, you know, our team is nothing but dedicated, hardworking people who want to earn a good living doing something that they really enjoy. There's no scammers. Nobody's plotting. You know, it's beyond me how entrenched some people are. So I try not to get involved in that, because ultimately I believe in the utility of the technology, not necessarily the technology itself.
Mm. Now, I think that's crucial. And for anybody watching, if you have questions, I see a few are starred. So if you're watching the show now and you have questions for Steve about Rock Wallet specifically, but maybe something else that you find interesting that you'd like to ask Steve, like, if you can get it past Alex Moon, we'll put it on the screen. And actually, here's a good one right here. Is Steve about to solve some of the issues with EID, Paymail, IPv6? So you mentioned Paymail, which is, in my opinion, like the most simple and delightful way to send a payment. But what about things like broader, like IPv6 integration and other things like that?
Yeah,
what does that look like?
You're not going to see that this side of Christmas. All I would say right now is that is definitely part of the overall strategy, because you know, for obvious reasons, it's something in terms of a technology that's particularly of interest, and the ability to, you know, BSV to you know, facilitate that, for sure. But ultimately, the way I would categorize it is that we want to be able to do peer-to-peer payments instantaneously. You know, we want to be able to connect to multiple apps and transfer and exchange instantaneously. You know, we want to be able to do remittance. You know, let's use the utility of the product all those people locked out, those billions of people locked out that are forced to use Western Union at crazy amounts of... that's a bit of a wishy-washy answer, you won't see it this side of Christmas, because, like I said earlier, we want to do what we currently do better and better and better before we start. Because you're right. I mean, you touched on it. Every day I want to be able to do this. I want to be able to do that. Oh, wouldn't it be nice if we had this coin? Stop.
I think it's funny. You mentioned remittance, and every time somebody asks me, like, you get the blockchain critic, right? Who's like, well, who's ever going to use this? What's it actually for? And I always explain to people, like, have you ever used Western Union? You ever thought about how old that business model is, and that Bitcoin frankly solved it 15 years ago, but nobody's actually implemented a solution. Mm-hmm. And holy cow. Like, so every time somebody says remittance, I'm like, somebody please build this business.
Yeah. So, and you're absolutely right. And you actually, you know, worded it better than I could. It's staring us in the face. This is a business opportunity. There are millions and millions of low paid workers that have to left their home and they send money back. Yeah. And then, you know, when you've got the likes of the current fiat system at the moment taking large chunks, mm-hmm. that can't be right. That cannot be sustainable.
Yeah, it is. It's wild. Live Wiser. There's a good name. Sounds German. With so many wallets and exchanges already in the market, what is Rock Wallet doing to differentiate itself and attract users?
Great one. I think I've answered that, but thank you for the opportunity for saying it again. It's trust. It's doing, you know, say what we're going to do and do what we say day in, day out. And, you know, it's really about treating the customer's assets as if it's our own personal money. So there are some things you can't do in our wallet that you can do in others. You're absolutely right. We can't compete necessarily on every single, we will eventually, but, you know, right now we can't. So what can we do? We can treat our customers really, really well and just continue to build that trust.
Yeah, no, amen to that. Let's bring up some more, Mr. Mui. Brandon Ward, question for both. Oh, boy. Why do you guys think people seem to never think about how we can use Bitcoin versus how I'm going to buy this coin and suddenly make money? That is an interesting conundrum, right? Mm-hmm. Like talking about utility, talking about here's a business model which has all of its own opportunity costs and risks and all these other things. And frankly, if I had told somebody in the last 5 years, hey, build a business on Bitcoin versus just buy and hold ETH or something like that. If you look at the actual work in versus value out, it makes more sense to buy coins and do nothing. How? First of all, that's got to change at some point or else it's all just nonsense in my opinion, but I'd love to hear your opinion.
Yeah. So why not do both? I mean, you know, you can store the assets in any wallet and leave them there for your grandchildren if you wanted to, or you can find a way to use them. And I think it's incumbent on myself and the other CEOs of other wallets to find the way. You know, I be honest with you, I err on the side of utility as opposed to a store of value. Not necessarily because I don't trust the technology, but until that regulation is there, until the bad actors are gone, you know, there's always going to be that volatility. Obviously I'm not going to give any personal advice because I'm not qualified, financial advice because I'm not qualified to do that. But my own personal opinion, I want to focus on the utility. But if you wanted to use the Rock Wallet to store your assets, be my guest.
Yeah. Well, it is an interesting thing too, because the longer that it stays primarily a speculative asset, the longer we're going to get people that are here to say, hey, I can make money being a promoter, right? So it's a little bit of a chicken and egg problem where, you know, trying to time the market in such a way that you're the one that builds the business where the business grows faster than the value of the asset. Like that's a very, very difficult thing to take that jump, especially when we have pushing 15 years now of data saying you will be rewarded by doing nothing but buying and holding, the asset. So it's a difficult one. And it's actually, I think it's a deep, like macroeconomic and microeconomic and philosophical, and it's all kinds of things converging at once. But yeah, I don't know. It really is genuinely a problem that I don't know how to solve.
I don't think it's any different to any asset class, really. Do your research. If you believe in the fundamentals, if you believe in the utility, you believe in the longevity, what is it backed by? What is the liquidity? What is the fungibility? Mm-hmm. You're not going to go wrong, really. It's just I encourage people to do their homework You can never time the market. So that's why you've got to focus on the fundamentals.
No, for sure. Well, I think there's an interesting point there, because if you look at the sort of BSV, like we're all the way on the one side about, the price is irrelevant. It's all about what you can build with it. And then on the flip side, you have the BTC people saying, no, it's all about the asset. It's all about this store value thing. And then all of a sudden this year, there was this convergence where the Ordinals protocol comes out on BTC. And now we've got the one sat ordinals on BSV. But if you look at who's actually building the really valuable stuff on BTC, it's a lot of BSV transplants who we all cut our teeth over on BSV and learning about how to build a Bitcoin thing and then taking it over to BTC where there's just this massive chunk of sitting liquidity and say, hey, how do we sell something to these people? So I would love to see there be a convergence essentially where we all say, hey, we're all kind of, like, I know we disagree about a lot of detail stuff, but ultimately we're people that are interested in Bitcoin as the foundation of our economic lives. And so I'm curious, what do you think of token protocols in general? Here's a question from Charlie Comey, one of our longtime listeners, asking, what about token protocols in Rock Wallet? Are you building? Are you supporting any? And now that you have BTC, BSV, and ETH, you could support token protocols on all three in theory. What's your token opinion? I'd love to hear it.
So the answer is yes, basically. I can't go into details, but and I'm not trying to be belligerent. I genuinely don't necessarily want to go there right now.
Yep.
But what I will say is this. The example that you just gave is a perfect example of a technology looking for a customer.
Yeah.
You know, imagine, you know, I've got this vision in my head where, you know, you go to a soccer game with 5-year-olds and you've got two teams just basically following the ball around. There's no strategy. There's no plan. You know, they're just following the ball, the shiny object. So not taking away anything to what you just said. But ultimately, what will happen, I think this is probably where you're going, and I do agree with this, is that, you know, there's a saying in the UK, I don't know if it translates in North America, is the cream will rise to the top.
Sure.
Okay. So if you've got a use case, the best technology would be able to facilitate that use case. So whether it's a protocol, ordinal protocol, or it's a particular coin or a structure of a particular coin, ultimately, if it's a bit of this and a bit of that and a bit of that, and that makes, you know, something the customer can get behind, there you go. That's business. That, you know, that's the nature of the market. So rather than predicting those pieces, which I don't think is probably a good idea today, I do believe that the use case will dictate ultimately what the technology or that the constituent parts would look like.
No, for sure. I think it's a wise point. Total technical side note, you have become blurry, and I don't know if it's your camera. It's like your camera lens decided to focus on something else, but not your face. That your hand is crystal clear. There we go. Oh,
okay, did that work? No, it didn't
work. No, it found you. You're good. You're back in focus. And everybody wants to give all the power to the AI now. So let's.
yeah, AI is no good. It still can't make me 20 years younger.
You could do one of those face swap apps. That's I don't know. I'm still have very mixed feelings about on the one hand, I use it. I think it's super cool. But then I see it very casually tell me something that I know is false, but says it with such confidence. Makes me very worried.
Absolutely.
So here's an interesting one. Why are they called wallets? Seemingly a wallet is more of a coin purse. And I've actually used an analogy myself saying it's more like a window into the blockchain and you have the key to reach through it and move what you control from one spot to another spot on the ledger. But it's an interesting question about terminology in general. Do we need better terms or are we sticking with wallet forever?
I think it's wallet forever. It invokes an image, invokes, you know, we're used to wallets and purses.
Yeah.
We know what they do and don't do. And I think that analogy should remain. I'm not going to stand there with a pitchfork and a flame to say thou shall call it a wallet, but it makes sense to me. And if you really want to appeal to the millions of people that do not understand crypto, you're going to have to use vernacular that people understand.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. There's a lot of things in the blockchains, but like I'm a technical nerd. I tell people all the time, like, hey, by the way, guys, we're all protocol cultists. So let's not let everybody know how crazy we are. But there's a lot of terms like that just kind of they grind my gears because they're general and they paint a picture. But then I'm always like, yeah, but it also creates this problem in that it gives people a weird expectation that then, you know, whatever, we get some weird.
That's fair too, actually. Yeah. But, you know, it's like most things, a Hoover is not a Hoover. That's just it's a vacuum.
Yeah.
Maybe in the fullness of time, some things will stick and some things won't.
Yeah. No, it's funny. My grandma always used to call our refrigerator. She would refer to it as the Frigidaire because that was the first brand name of fridge that she had. And she probably had it for 30 years. So it's a funny thing.
Yeah.
So here's a question. Brian Stockwell, who is behind Rock Wallet? Does Rock Wallet lend out Bitcoin? So that's two questions. What's the structure, if you can divulge? And then do you lend out Bitcoin?
Yeah, it's not a secret, but it's not something I should be talking about in a public forum. But we have a number of investors, and we have our own strong liquidity. It's not a public traded company; it's mm-hmm. a private trade. It's a private company. We're extremely well funded. We have got a very strong forecast. We're exceeding our forecast, which is always a good position to be in. But like everything's a bell curve. If you're not innovating or moving to the next thing, then you know it becomes a problem. And if you're this side of the bell curve, it's too late. So so that's really the answer to that one. Do we lend Bitcoin out? Absolutely not.
Wise man. What do you think of that business in general? Coming from your banking background, do you think, I mean, at some point, if we were to get to like the hyper Bitcoinized world, somebody's got to lend Bitcoin. Is there a way to do this better that maybe nobody's thinking about?
I don't know the answer to that. I'll be dead straight with you, Kurt. All I would say is that how it's currently done is not the way it should be done.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I don't buy that. And going back to what we were talking earlier, we're not at the stage yet where we can all go at each other about who's got the best technology or the best service. We're still at the stage where we collectively have to build that foundation. And until you define, we get into the vernacular of send, receive, store, swap, etc., stake, trade, lend, and all the rest of it. It really is a pointless discussion right now. All I can tell you is, I don't believe the way it's currently done is going to be the way it's going to be done in the future.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's just been a wild year and a half watching everybody collapse because of their malfeasances. it's something. But on the flip side, I've seen an ad or two or a post or two that you guys are hiring. Who are you looking for? Who's your ideal candidate? That kind of thing. I get a lot of viewers, so I might have somebody that wants to send you a message first. What are you looking for?
So first of all, please do. We posted a few positions, both on LinkedIn and on Twitter. We just really want people that care about what they do and care that they have some responsibility because we're building products that deal with people's personal assets. So, that's something that you should always take seriously. Yeah. Somebody who's always, very curious about technology and somebody who genuinely wants to affect change. I say this a lot in my organization that it doesn't matter where you are in the organization, certainly within Rock Wallet, you can affect change. And if you've got a good idea, go with it. Let's see where it goes. Okay, it may not make it to the final roadmap. It may not make it as a product. But I tell you what, just allowing people to, these are smart people, just to feel heard or feel that they can contribute. It may not happen this time, but later on, that might be the spark that takes us to the next level. And until you get people used to being, truculent, then you're just going to have people to talk at, and that's not good in any organization. So, there are a number of positions, VP of product management, who will affect the roadmap for sure. We've got a director of software development. We've got a large development team that needs some day-to-day leadership and some, some to help us with our sprints and our agile structure. We've got user acquisition, marketing user acquisition, customer acquisition, social media. There's quite a few payments. Payments director is one of them as well. Yeah. And then BI, I posted one of them for a business intelligence analyst. Come and tell us what we don't know. Now, I am joking, but I mean it. Don't come and tell us what we know. Even I can work that out. Come and tell us what we don't know. I'm interested in somebody coming in with a fresh set of eyes and saying, that doesn't make sense, and here's why. Wow.
Yeah.
How senior or junior you are, if you can tell me that, power to you.
Well, that's some serious alpha too. I mean, a lot of people get stuck in the cycle of, here's what my business does. And, you can very quickly get very stagnant. Really, you know, the market will just shift on you, and then you realize, oh shoot, I needed to have started this pivot. Well, you mentioned the bell curve situation, so yeah, it's terrifying when all of a sudden something pivots and it just was lost on you. So that's really interesting. I'm curious. I'm always curious what it would look like, because we are in such a like weird blockchain bubble. If I were to just get a couple of engineers or business intelligence people out of somewhere like Google or one of the weird startups that like a company like Google might acquire even, and say, hey, what do you think of our whole business model here? Just with purely fresh eyes, because it is. Sometimes I genuinely worry, like, are we all crazy? Like, we might be.
I would like to think that if you did that, it will be very much along the lines of the discussion you and I have been having today.
Yeah.
You know, stop trying to be everything to everybody.
Yeah.
Pick a lane and do it extremely well. And then you earn the right to then add this function, that function, that functionality. We've got to earn the right to do that. Rather than force it down our customer's throat, technology looking for a customer, let's earn the right by doing what we've decided to do really, really well, and then earn the right to make another offering. Because until you do that, we're all just going to be having the same discussion this time next year and in the next 5 years. That's my personal opinion.
Well, and it's funny. I mean, I'm 10 years into being a Bitcoiner, like being a pretty serious advocate. It really wasn't until maybe 6 years ago that I was like full time. I'm like, hey, man, Bitcoin's going to change the world. I'm really going to dedicate to it. But, you know, looking back now, I worry the same thing, that am I too excited about the concept that I've missed the, hey, we still haven't found the customer, other than these weird, you know, asymmetric speculative assets or what we would have called shadow banking 20 years ago. And now we call it DeFi and act like it's, you know, hey, this is really interesting, you know? So I'm curious, how do we vet that? How do we vet, are we just in an industry that is looking for a customer? And we're like, when do you kind of call it and say, hey guys, maybe we do need to pivot because we've gotten real weird over here.
So if I may, I'm going to pay you a compliment, okay? And I think this is where you strike a fine balance between the technology and the business element of it. And I would advise you to keep on doing what you do. You clearly know what you're talking about, but people do listen to you, okay? And that's important, because you seem to be quite objective in your statements. There are people that we can't avoid, and we just need to be nice to them because they've obviously got other issues. You know, and this sounds like a warm and fuzzy, but again, it goes back to basic business principles. Okay. Keep it consistent. You know, we're going to get there eventually. How we get there may be completely different, but that's what strategy is. You know, that, you know, when a strategy changes, the second you launch the strategy, it's how you can deal with the pluses and minuses, deviance from the strategies is ultimately how you're going to get there. So, you know, please carry on doing what you're doing, sir. A lot of people, you are a bit of a tent pole in the community. So
thank you.
Whether you want to or not, you created that role for yourself. So continue to do that.
Yeah.
And then I guess help the rest of us be heard, really. And if I say something wrong, shut me down. I've got no problem with that. I don't have all the answers. But you know, to me, I'm not in competition with my peers. I'm in competition with myself, if anything, because all I want to do is offer the best possible service to our customers. And it's as simple as that.
Thank you. It's actually been a pretty warm and fuzzy interview on both directions. So it's been good. But no, I think it's wise words. Like, too many people are indeed trying to pretend to be a businessman, and then, you know, I don't know, I was successful when the market did 100x, but now I'm in trouble. So,
always beware of a businessman who's telling you you're doing something wrong. Okay? Always beware of a businessman, because a proper businessman would help you do what you do better. And there is a nuance there. Okay, yep. So you know, that's the best BS detector I could possibly ask anybody to develop.
No, that's good. In fact, I may turn that into a post or something later. That's good advice.
You're welcome to it.
So we got 3.5 minutes left. I'm curious, is there anything that, you know, perhaps I didn't ask, anything that you want to cover that we haven't touched on?
No, not at all. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I was joking about the M&Ms, but I wasn't. I want to, you know, shout out to everybody. You know, thank you for the support in the community. You know, we're going to get some stuff wrong, but I promise you there are a lot of people trying to make it right. You know, if we haven't lived up to our promise, please let me know. You know, there's no ego here. I really do want to do the best possible. We really want to do the best possible service that we can. You know, and I'll be honest with you. You know, I'm 52, and I've, as you heard earlier, I've worked in a lot of companies, but this is the most fun I've ever had because I'm learning every day.
Yeah.
And they're not always good lessons, but even a bad lesson is a good lesson. Learn something. And, you know, that keeps me going. That really keeps me invigorated. And just doing right by people, both from a customer perspective, but also from a team perspective as well.
Good stuff. Steve, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to catching up again soon. I think I'll probably see you at an event in a month. Gosh, less than a month now.
Crazy.
And So, again, thanks so much. Looking forward to catching up in the future.
You take care. All the best to everyone. Bye-bye.
So everybody, that was Steve Bailey. I believe he was Chief Operating Officer over at RockWallet. And I mean it when I say it. I actually use the product. I use a lot of products in the space, but I'm not a power user of a lot of things. But I actually use RockWallet for my own holdings. I use the exchange tools. I've used the OTC desk. Everything works really well. So that's what I can say about that. But I think it's also important. I think there's a lesson in the conversation that maybe we didn't quite touch on. I think we scraped it a couple of times, but RockWallet is in the business of making money. And I think a lot of businesses or people that think they're businesses are in the mindset that I have a product or an idea or I have a pitch, and this pitch can maybe raise a little bit of money and do these things. But what I think I have stressed a lot, but maybe need to stress more, it's really important to provide value with the tools that you have in a way that somebody else is not. Or if you're going to do it in the way that, a similar concept, do it really, really well, which is what Steve said many times during the interview, that if you can just have the best service or the best attitude even and make that your key differentiator, there's so much opportunity in the space, but that business opportunity has been super elusive. We have continued to see people that have a like, hey, I'm gonna launch this app and it's gonna change the world, and you end up getting, you know, maybe 50 customers or maybe 500 customers, but you're not penetrating the like, hey, I've actually got 100,000 customers that are very, very happy and making a lot of money and this kind of thing. You're all making money together. We're creating a growth economy, and so. I think it's really key to focus on the actual business model of making money so that you can hire people, develop new ideas, implement a roadmap. And we're seeing that in a few places as people, you know, pivot and work with other chains and do some of these other things. And I think there's a lot of opportunity there. So I'm not necessarily telling you to do anything except for maybe take a half step back. Reconsider what do the tea leaves tell us about all the ways that you need to be making money so that you can be self-sustaining, self-sovereign, and make really life-changing, world-changing things happen with your time and your capital. We only have one life to live here, and it's important to live them well. And so as I do these things in my own life or attempt to be a good husband, father, friend, coach, boss, employee, contractor, what else do I do in my life? Many other things. Ultimately, also the host of this show. I want to be a really good host. So if you're watching still, thank you so much. Please like, subscribe, hit the alert bell, and join us every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. got these compliments from Alex Moon in the troll box, man. I appreciate you, brother. Always, it's a pleasure working with you, sir. And we're going to leave it that. Always be good to each other. Please make a concerted effort. Being good to each other is something that is genuine and comes from the heart. And if it doesn't, you're probably not actually being good to each other. So commit it, and I'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Industry-shifting ideas can start from individuals or people committed to solving global and industry issues. This is your chance to network with experts and connect with a future collaborator at the London Blockchain Conference. Throughout history, significant innovations have resulted from successful collaborations. In 1903, brothers Orville and Wilbur Wright made it possible for us to achieve our dream of flying. In 1977, Steve Jobs' marketing flair and Steve Wozniak's engineering magic helped jumpstart the personal computer revolution. In 1990, Tim Berners-Lee worked with systems engineer Robert Kaio to pave the way for the World Wide Web. The world would look very different without the innovations of these incredible collaborations. Come to the London Blockchain Conference, where visionaries like yourself convene and create value partnerships that could lead to future collaboration and the next world-changing solution.